Over the next few months on Morning Edition, we will profile some of the political reporters and editors who bring you the news of this campaign. The series will focus on everything from TV networks to weblogers. We'll start with a reporter who uses an older technique. For more than 40 years, Washington Post columnist David Broder has been going door to door. He talks to voters in key states.
It's easier as you get older because I think, one, I look less like the neighborhood rapist, and two, I think a lot of people must feel sorry for me. I mean, look at this poor old man at his age having to go knock on doors, you know, and sometimes the weather is nasty, so they'll invite you in for a cup of tea or something like that.
David Broder is a thin man with glasses, not much hair, and a ready smile. He was in between interviews when he stopped to talk in his office near the Washington Post newsroom. Broder spends a lot of time talking to political insiders on Capitol Hill and elsewhere. But each election year, Broder and other Post reporters go to key states. They knock almost at random on doors in Lakewood, Ohio, or Penn Hills, Pennsylvania.
Normally, we will begin an interview by saying, I'm not from around here. Tell me how things are. And they will answer at literally any level from, well, you know, there was just a break-in down the block, to I worry about population trends in the world and how we're going to feed all these people. I've had both those answers from people to an opening question.
That's a pretty vague question. It's a deliberately vague question,
yes,
isn't it?
Because that lets them set the agenda. And you want to get them to talk about what's on their minds. And eventually you can steer the conversation around to saying, well, you know, tell me about President Bush. What kind of job do you think he's doing?
Do you see your role as describing what's going on or at some level influencing what's happening?
No, it really is descriptive. And what we've found over the years here is that these stories are really read in Washington because the neurosis in this city is that they're trying to govern the country, the people who work here. But they have this terrible sneaking suspicion, which is often correct, that they don't know what the hell is going on in the country. And I think they regard this as being reasonably authentic representation of what real people are talking about and thinking about.
Do the presidential campaigns call you up as though you do have a lot of influence?
Any politician who's worth his or her salt is trying to work the press because it's a one way of influencing public opinion. And I don't have any objection. In fact, I'd be worried if it weren't the case.
I'm curious, though. How do the Bush and Kerry campaigns work on you, if that's a phrase that I can use?
It's not a heavy-handed thing. There are emails and briefings and lots of phone calls from people in both campaigns. They have messages that they would like us to try to carry for them. And we don't have to be stupid about it. We can use our own judgment as to what is important and what is reasonably truthful. But part of our job is conveying messages from public officials.
It sounds like you don't find that quite as valuable, though, as talking to ordinary people.
You wouldn't have spent as much of your adult life covering politics as I've spent if you didn't really have a soft spot for politicians. And I admire people in politics. I particularly admire those who put their names on the ballot because they are willing to take a risk that most of us would run like hell to stay away from. I mean, my hat is off to people who are willing to do what politicians do.
In this series of conversations with reporters, columnists, and others, we're asking each person to name a story that they're following that they think has been missed or overlooked. What's your story?
I think the story that's been missed is where this country, how this country is going to pay its bills. The boomers are, honest to God, ready to retire, and that's an inexorable wave, which we are simply not prepared to finance either their retirement or their health care costs. And whoever is president the next 4 years, I think the country is in for a really important debate about what we're going to do on that subject. And it's not a debate I'm afraid that we will have in this campaign.
What happened? That was a large issue, actually, in the 2000 election, what to do with Social Security and so
yes.
forth.
9/11 happened. I mean, I think Bush probably would have liked to have done something on Social Security or attempted something on Social Security in the first term, but his energies, understandably enough, have been diverted to Iraq and to the war on terrorism.
What's the cost of the time lost there?
The adjustment will be more drastic and probably painful. I was just up on the Hill this morning talking to people. I think there's a recognition on both sides that they can't go another 4 or 5 years without beginning to address those questions.
David Broder, thanks very much.
Thank you.
David Broder is a political reporter and a columnist for The Washington Post.